Bienvenue à Les Affaires Brassicoles, votre balado sur l'entrepreneuriat brassicole du Québec, avec Leonardo Calcagno de Baron Maître.
My name is Deborah Wood. I've been working in the brewing industry for a very long time. I took courses from the master brewer of Unibrew back in the 1990s, so that gives you an idea of how long I've been around, and I just love beer. Although I did my university studies in art, and I have a MFA in printmaking, but I'm a total geek. I like to know how things work, and I've always had a true. I'm very good at sensory. I've always been the person who was able to smell something and tell you if you could eat it and not die. In my family, they'd say, smell this, can we eat it? And if I said, don't eat it, they'd throw it out. But that ability to smell and taste and have this hypersensitivity enabled me to eventually become an international beer judge. And I can tell from the way a beer smells or tastes where during the brewing process an effect originated. And for that, I'm able to help people adjust their beers and help them brew better beer. I worked for a very long time for various companies, and my last jobs were doing I was selling ingredients. Okay. And basically, people would call me up and say, tell me a beer recipe, and I would give all these people beer recipes over the phone, and then they'd buy the ingredients from me. I'd tell them exactly what they needed to make the beer properly. So I had startup brewers, advanced brewers. I was all over Eastern Canada. I've been helping people design beer and also showing them exactly which ingredients they needed to use, the yeast. Because when I started to train myself as a brewer, I brewed every single beer style until I got an amateur award. So I became the woman in Canada with the most awards coast to coast. And the reason I was able to get into the brewing industry is because I'm smart. I understood yeast, microbiology, beer styles, and I knew the answers to questions that brewers didn't know the answers to. So I started doing consulting, and I had a lot of fun in the brewing industry. I just love it. And I'm sort of bored right now. I'm retired, and I'm looking for a few consulting jobs if they pop up. If they're interesting projects, I'm open to it. And I brew different beer styles and develop things in my, I've got a pilot brewery, and I bought a small house in Chambly that had a gigantic heated garage with water, and I have a whole brewery set up out there, and I have everything I possibly need to brew, and I design beers for fun, and I've been doing, for instance, low alcohol beers, but not beers that don't have alcohol in them, because I don't like non-alcoholic beers, because it's kind of like drinking fruit juice. If you compare how much sugar is in like a non-alcoholic beer and you compare it with fruit juice, sometimes they're sweeter than the fruit juice. So I don't really understand why they're a healthy choice. I think that it would be a healthier choice to brew, say, for instance, a 2.5-3% alcohol beer, and just you'll have less sugar, and it will taste better, I think. So anyway, I've designed some really cool low alcohol beers just for fun, and then I just basically have fun, and I design things I want to drink, and then I drink them.
Deborah, we've been following you for a long time. Like I told you, we're like a ghost. We check out where you are, see you a couple of times, and we know, we talk to other people about you, and it's a pleasure to talk to you, because I know you've been in the industry for a long time, and you were like one of the only women for a very long time. That's why I was happy to see you at the Overhop event, you know, with other women, and you get to see everybody working there, tons of different brewers, you know, it's very good change. But before we start talking about your how you feel about beer, how's the industry, stuff like that, can you tell us how was it in the beginning when you started in the 1990s? You know, like your art degree, you go in there, like, okay, let's, the industry is very small. There was maybe 24 breweries in Quebec, 21 microbreweries in Quebec. So how was it in the 1990s?
I made a lot of friends when I took a professional brewing course in Saint-Hyacinthe, and I met different people who were doing brewery upstarts, and some of them, I became their instant friends, and they realized I was smarter than they were, and I would help them out, and I would go brew, I would design their beers, and I helped start up some different breweries.
Okay.
It was a lot of fun. But basically, if somebody was obnoxious, I just wouldn't talk to him. I just would talk to somebody else. There's so many people in the brewing industry.
Yeah.
I never had a problem with it. I have attitude, and I grew up with three brothers, and all my cousins were guys, and they would all try to beat me up as kids. So, like, I'm not at all intimidated by men.
You're sitting in a keg here in the cold, so yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I'm sitting on a keg. I'm adaptable.
So how was it like, you know, you see the beginning from 1980s to now, you know, all the trend changing, all the beer, you see a lot of brews coming out. So what is the biggest you've seen besides having more beer and more juicy beer stuff like that? What has it been the biggest, you know, difference from 1990s from now, right now?
Well, look at how many people buy craft beer now.
Yeah.
The demand has doubled, tripled, quadrupled. I mean, we used to talk about when will craft beer hit the 10% of the beer being sold, and but nowadays you've got hard seltzers that are coming in that takes a part of the thing. But I think that with the new like hazy IPA and beer phase, some quality in the production has been lost, because sometimes, you know, like some hazy IPAs, how long are they going to keep? They've got to be drunk fresh.
Yeah.
So like buy it and drink it. Don't try to store it.
Whereas
before they had, like, you know, you could be sure of a 90-day freshness on beer, but sometimes I've opened up hazy IPAs and had a half an inch of slug in the bottom of the can.
Okay.
I do drink hazy IPAs, but I like balanced ones.
You must be very hard to satisfy as a beer drinker.
If I don't like it, I pour it down the drain.
How many times a week, say you drink a beer and it goes down the drain?
My boyfriend, he buys all sorts of beer. He just buys it. We have so much beer, I can't believe it. And I'd say we probably pour 40% of the beer cans we open down the drain.
That bad?
I know you might be difficult,
that's why.
I'm very difficult, you know. I like well-brewed beer with no defects, and I don't really care about the style so much as I want it to be well-brewed and balanced.
So what do you think is there's many defects right now? What do you think, because they're producing too much beer too much too fast?
I think that people need to know more about the styles they're attempting to brew, because they give beer names and there's no relationship with the style.
Okay.
And I think they need to do a little research.
So do you think that's why people are doing that beer with a lot of defects?
People are putting out one-offs because they think they'll sell.
Okay.
So it's, you know, like how many types of beer are out there right now?
There's
thousands.
I always get some weird emails, stuff like that. So I guess you must be happy the lager is coming up, but it's coming back.
If I really want a good one, I just have to go brew it. It's very easy to do. I know exactly what to do. I can make a beautiful lager beer with my eyes closed.
Have you never been tempted to launch your own brewery?
Partly because I didn't have the funds, and partly now that my kids are grown up and they're adults. You know, when I was younger, I didn't want to have a brewery because I had children at home and I was.
Family time, yeah.
I wanted my kids to succeed. Now they're One is a mechanical engineer and the other one's a professional photographer, so they're great. But who knows, someday I'm getting bored. I'm being retired, I find it really boring. And I'd actually like to have a part-time job in a brewery.
If you hear this, interview, please call Deborah right now. Right now, just right now.
One
of the questions, I'm always, because I know you're a consultant for little breweries, you've been to almost 100 breweries, you've been working since the beginning of your career. How does it start when people call you up and tell you, look, man, I have a problem, do I have an idea? How do you begin with them to help them out as a brewery?
I ask them questions. If someone's doing a startup, I say, what styles do you want to brew? And then I talk to them about what type of brewing system are you going to have? What is the size of the brewing system? And from there on, I was able to advise them on the best way to order materials to pay the least amount of money possible. Because if you, it all depends on the size of your brewery, what's the best way to organize it. But I was also able to tell people immediately what was the ideal malt for them to use for the beer style. So people who listened to me got awards, basically.
So what is the best model for you think for a brewery?
I think right now, make sure you have a tasting room attached to your brewery, because you get instant cash that goes directly. Because if you're relying on selling through stores, and you're going to get paid in 90 days, so you've got to think about
cash flow.
That's key, and.
Okay. So I think
accessibility, and quality.
And stuff like that.
Quality, yeah.
Right now we're at the MBA event. I don't know if we had too many A's or too many B's.
MBAA, Master Brewers Association of America.
Of Quebec. Why are you here? How important is this event
I'm actually a member of the MBAA since a very long time. And I'm also part of the committee that organizes events. So I came a little early to help out, but instead I'm talking to you from sitting on a beer keg.
Thank you.
But
how important is this event for brewers?
Very important, because you're going to become part of a community that isn't going to judge you because who owns the brewery? You could be owned by
Molson
or some big company, but they're going to treat you with the same respect if you're a little independent brew pub. And that's one thing I really like about the MBAA, because look at the competitions in Canada. If you're like owned by a big brewery, you're no longer allowed to compete for medals in contests. Yeah. So that changes the whole the way things work, because the breweries that used to win all the medals, when they got bought, they're no longer allowed to compete in the Canadian and Canada. So
it's important,
it changes
the
for
place,
me.
Like a safe place like this.
I like the inclusiveness, and I also like ask the brewmaster. If you have a problem, you can ask it on the web, and you're going to get back answers from all over North America. It's a North America, it's inclusive, and you have access to excellent information.
I saw you at St. Jean sur Richelieu at the Upper Hop event about women in brewing.
Brasseurs.
How do you feel about the event? How do you think you feel about having?
I thought that was fun. I saw a lot of friends there, and I actually already knew the ladies from Over Hop.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I saw they were having an event, I of course drove right over there. I really like them.
It was fun. Grange Perdu. There was a lot of there was tons of people working.
Oh yeah. I encourage women to become brewers.
What do you think is still there's such a minority of women working in breweries? Why do you think there's a problem like that?
There's more and more.
Yeah, for sure.
It's still a minority, but it's going uphill continuously, and the women are very meticulous.
That's all the women I've talked to, that's what they told me.
They're meticulous. You ask them to do something and they'll do it. But sometimes I've talked to brewery owners that the hired brewer would be changing the recipe And that's like not something you should do, is change the recipe without telling the owner about if they're brewing like their flagship beer and they decide to change something on
it. Twitch or whatever like that, yeah.
That's a bad idea. Don't do it.
So Deborah, even still in a couple of minutes, I was wondering, I know you're looking for consulting jobs. People do call you because you have a lot of experience. If they want to get in contact with you, how do they get in contact with you?
How about Facebook Messenger? I'm on Deborah Wood. I live in Chambly, Quebec, so that helps you figure out where I am. And contact me through Messenger.
Is there an email that we can send you an email? Or did you rather
have
Facebook?
D-Wood, D-W-O-O-D, brew, B-R-E-W, @ gmail.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. It was an honor to talk to you. And hopefully, maybe in a couple of months, we can have like a long conversation.
Over a beer.
I would like to have like, over a couple of beers.
Over a beer.
I would like to talk about your, from the 1990s to now, to, I'd like to have you like for an hour or something like that.
It's a lot of fun. We should do it while we drink some beers I brewed.
100%. I will go to Chambly for sure. And
how's that for an idea?
It's a great idea.
Because I experiment with malt all the time to find out what it tastes like. How can you use it? What percentage can you put? And for instance, I met Mr. Dingaman at a craft brewers conference, and he told me that I said, biscuit malt, how much should I put in it? I want to find out how to use it. He said, put 18-20%. So I made a beer, Pilsner and biscuit malt, and it's a very interesting beer. Very unusual, but delicious. So that's how I learn about things I've never tried, is I design beers and I experiment to learn about
excellent.
Them.
Excellent. Well, it's a date, and yes, can't wait for that. Thank you very much.